You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits or join the Facebook discussion groups www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh man, I've been hard since you said hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Paul Clemens, he has a career 676 slugging against his fastball.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Which I kept checking that. I couldn't quite believe it was true, but it is. I think that could be a little bit of a problem. He also has a 186 home run per nine in his career.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Now, Paul Clemens is not related to Roger Clemens, correct?
I did see some people suggest that Roger Clemens would still be a better option than Paul Clemens at this point. I think, is he 52 now, something like that?
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join with me on this episode is Darius Austin. Darius, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm looking forward to talking about one of the most exciting teams for fantasy in baseball.
I can sense the sarcasm.
I actually found it very interesting learning all about the Padres, but I'm not sure I would describe them as fantasy rich.
They are definitely not fantasy rich. They do have some interesting pieces, especially on the offensive side of the ball. The pitching staff is going to be less interesting to discuss. But that's what we're going to be doing today. We're talking, doing team preview for the San Diego Padres. So hopefully everybody is enjoying that. All the team previews we've been doing, and hopefully we're not overloading your podcast players with so many podcasts over the course of the last little bit and the next few weeks that we continue to do this. So let's jump right in and talk about the San Diego Padres, and we'll start with the infield and Will Myers, probably their best overall player in terms of fantasy and at least highest drafted. What are your thoughts on Will Myers for the upcoming season?
For me, it's all really about whether he can sustain those steals. I think if he can, then he's still a pretty interesting option because you obviously don't get many first basemen outside of Paul Goldschmidt. There aren't many that are even going to threaten double digits, and Myers obviously got 28 last year. So if he can do that, then I think he's a very interesting option, and certainly the Padres do like to run a lot, but it was kind of unprecedented for him. So there's a little bit of uncertainty at the back of my mind there. And I think without the steals, he's kind of like Adrian Gonzalez, only without the batting average, which isn't really a guy that is going to excite a lot of people at first base. So I'm cautiously optimistic that he can keep up the speed. He's still young, after all. And I think he's obviously quite good at base stealing. He went 28 for 34, so he only got caught 6 times. But there's just a little bit of concern at the back of my mind that if those steals drop off, he's actually not a great option in the rest of the categories.
Yeah, I agree with you that I think he can keep up at least some speed. I don't think I would pencil him in, you know, on my rankings or my projections at 28. I think I feel safer if I pencil in 15, and then anything on top of that is gravy. So maybe I'm, you know, projecting a 25 for 15 with a 255 average for next season, which isn't bad, and, you know, I think keeps him as a top 10 first baseman. But I don't know if I think in the majority of leagues, someone else is going to buy into the production we saw last year, and I'm probably going to be left without him. He's currently going as the number 7th first baseman off the board, 52nd overall in NFBC leagues. Is that too high for you, too low, or about right?
That sounds a little too high for me. I don't think that's building in enough of the risk that he might not steal as many bases. And I do think, although he managed to stay healthy last year, he's obviously had a pretty long history of not doing that as well. So I think I would like to see him go a little bit lower just to bake in some of that risk. 52 sounds a bit on the high side for me.
Yeah, he's currently going above guys like Jose Abreu, who I think I'd rather have. Hanley Ramirez, I think those two are kind of in the same discussion. But Hanley Ramirez is going about 25 picks later. Or actually, sorry, about 35 picks later. So yeah, I think I'd rather save a few rounds worth of value and go with Hanley.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the other thing, which we'll probably touch on more with all of these hitters, is that this is potentially the worst run-scoring team in the league, and that is really going to impact your counting stats. So when you've got someone like Hanley on the Red Sox compared to Myers, that could easily be 20, 25 runs in RBI just from context alone.
I think it is going to be a pretty bad one, but I don't know. I mean, could you even name all 9 starters on the Oakland A's?
well, this was a recent effectively wild topic.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, they actually did a quiz with Eric Roseberry, who's written for us at Banished to the Pen and does his own podcast as well, and one of the BP prospect guys. And they had a little game show, basically, where they tried to name the starter at each position. I think they got 7 out of the 9. I did know all the names, but I don't think I would have got the configuration of the lineup right. And certainly there's probably only 3 or 4 that you would actually know from playing sort of a regular sized fantasy league.
I mean, I haven't done the Oakland A's preview yet, but I just went over to Roster Resource and looked at what they have as their lineup. I would have gotten 2 through 8, though I'm sure not in order. There's no way I didn't even realize Rajay Davis had signed in Oakland.
Yeah, it was just yesterday. So,
oh, okay, so that's why I missed it. And then I honestly don't really know who Bruce Maxwell is.
Yeah, I think the depth charts they were looking at on the Effectively Wild show had Jake Smolinski playing in center. So I don't think Bruce Maxwell was listed as a starter on theirs. I wouldn't have got Bruce Maxwell either.
Yeah, so that's they've got some interesting parts of that lineup too, as well as San Diego. San Diego is a team that I don't think is going to be good at all. I don't think, like I said, kind of in the beginning or alluded to in the beginning, I don't think the offensive issues are going to be their biggest issues. I think their biggest issues are in their rotation. So let's move on and talk about a couple more guys. Jarvis Solarte, is he a guy that is interesting to you as kind of a later pick? Because I think he offers some value if you're in deeper formats.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he's actually shown that he's got a pretty good skill set. He doesn't strike out that much. His power numbers are not flashy, but he does hit a lot of doubles. So although that's not going to help you directly unless you're in a slugging league, I think he has demonstrated the ability to be a pretty good hitter, and I think there's a good chance that he'll be batting 4th as well. So I think that's quite nice for his plate appearance and RBI numbers. So I could see myself looking at him as a very cheap corner infield type option in a deeper league for sure.
Yeah, he's a guy that I think isn't quite being paid attention to enough, and part of it is he has more doubles power than home run power that you would like to see. As you mentioned, but he, like you said, he's going to bat cleanup in that lineup with some guys, hopefully in front of him, that will be able to get on base, and so he should be able to drive in a fair number of runs. And I think you could probably mark him down for 14 to 16 home runs and feel pretty confident. Outside of missing some games last year, He's put up at least 500 plate appearances the previous 2 seasons. So You got to think that, especially in that lineup or what they have left on the bench in San Diego, he's probably not going to lose too much playing time. Let's move over to Ryan Schimpf, because he was a guy that kind of broke out in the second half last year. Do you buy the power that we saw from Ryan Schimpf?
I kind of do, but only because he's so extreme at hitting fly balls. He had a 64.9% fly ball rate, which was over 10% higher than anybody else in the league last year who had 200 plate appearances, and the second highest of all time. Only Rod Barajas in 2010 has ever hit more a higher percentage of fly balls than Ryan Schimpf.
I did not think that was going to be the name that came out of your mouth that when you said second.
No, neither did I. I looked at it and it was so high. I thought, I've got to find out if this is a record. And yeah, apparently Rod Barajas used to hit fly balls all the time. And he kind of did a similar kind of thing. Didn't have a great overall slash line, but had a decent amount of power. So I buy the home runs. I'm concerned that he might not hit more than 200. I think that's a very real possibility, because if you're hitting a fly ball as often as that and it's not leaving the park, then you're not going to have a very good BABIP. And I think a lot of those balls are going to find their way into the gloves of outfielders instead. So I certainly buy the power. I'm not sure how much else there is there. And I do wonder if he could get into a slump and actually play himself out of playing time, because I really see the potential for him to just, you know, go over 30 at any point given his approach at the plate.
Yeah, I mean, almost 32% strikeout rate last year. He does walk, you know, a good amount, you know, 12.5% of time about last season. So in OBP formats, he's actually an interesting guy. But I do worry about what you were just talking about in terms of in terms of losing playing time if he hits a cold streak, because as shallow as this team is overall. They do have a guy who's sitting behind him who will probably be a utility guy in Corey Spangenberg that was interesting to me coming into last season. I really thought he would be a nice little sleeper candidate as a guy with multiple positional eligibility that could steal a bunch of bases. And he spent the entire year actually injured. And so he's probably slated for a bench role right now, but if Schimpf struggles and goes through extended periods of being cold, I could definitely see Spangenberg kind of jumping in and taking over second base, at least replacing him quite a bit. What are your thoughts on Spangenberg at all? I mean, is he a guy that's interesting to you in, like, as a reserve pick in NL only?
I mean, I can see, yeah, certainly the situation you described where he's the guy to jump in instead of Schimpf. I'm just not sure this is the team that I would be looking to target, even in that kind of reserve area.
That's fair.
He's not really translated his speed that effectively to the majors thus far. We haven't seen him get an extended look, of course, so there's a lot of uncertainty there. There is pedigree from a way back now. He was a first round pick, but I think I would probably be looking elsewhere on a team that I thought would be slightly better before I would take a shot, because at the moment I don't see him getting much playing time, and he does need, I think, a slump from Schimpf to get into some playing time himself.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, like I said, he was a guy that I was targeting last season as kind of a reserve pick, because I really thought he could get some stolen bases in San Diego, and they showed themselves as a team that likes to run. So if for some reason he was to be able to break into some sort of role within that infield, I definitely could see him stealing double-digit or more bags. He's got the kind of speed that, while it's not like overwhelming, it's plus. So I think he could easily steal 10 to 15 bags if given the proper amount of plate appearances, but he's going to need either someone to slump or an injury to kind of force him into the lineup. Let's move away. I mean, do you want to talk about Luis Sardinas?
I mean, my thoughts are fairly similar to Spangenberg. I think he's got some speed potential, but I think he's going to probably bat eighth, and I don't see there to be too much there, you know, other than maybe double-digit steals at best, and that's not really enough for me, given how few plate appearances I think he'll get in what is probably not a very good lineup. So kind of the same perspective, really.
Yeah, I mean, Steamer seems pretty high on him. They have him with 12 stolen bases, getting almost 500 plate appearances. But I don't know if I can even pencil him in for that amount. Kind of depends on, I guess they just don't have really that much available on that team, even just to replace him.
Yeah, and I think even with that, he's barely kind of in the top 40 shortstop. So I think even if he does get that relatively optimistic projection, he's not going to be worth that much to fanciers.
I completely agree. I don't even think I ranked him in my top 40 shortstops. So, I did. I ranked him 37th. So, overall on the site, he's the 40th shortstop. So, let's move into the outfield, which is a little bit more interesting. You've got a number of guys that could have value. Let's start with Travis Jankowski and Alex Dickerson. Are either of these guys going to be like outfielder number fours for you this year?
I think Jankowski might work his way into the discussion just because there's not that many options you can steal 30 bases, and he managed it in just 383 plate appearances last year. So I think in that context, if you're on a team and you're seeing the speed options run out, Jankowski's not the worst person you can target. I think he's obviously got the ability to steal even 40 bases if he gets the playing time. The problem I have with him is he's just miserable against left-handed hitters, and I mean really miserable, not like even just bad, but so awful you can't quite believe it. So I could see him platooning with Dickerson, even though Dickerson's also left-handed, he's passable against lefties, and Jankowski really wasn't. So either he learns to hit them a bit better, or I think he's going to be in a part-time role again this year.
Yeah, I think that's kind of Jankowski's biggest issue is the fact that he is just he's a platoon player, and he's going to be a platoon player, I would assume. I mean, the roster resource currently has him starting off in left field and platooning with Jabari Blash. But I could definitely see Alex Dickerson working his way into that conversation. I think Alex Dickerson, while he definitely doesn't have the speed, I think he's the more complete player between the two of them in terms of a fantasy option. But I just don't see how either of them really gets enough overall at bats throughout the season to make a huge impact in fantasy. Jankowski could do it with his speed, but San Diego's got some talent in the minor leagues, especially in the outfield, coming up here fairly shortly. One of them is a guy we'll talk about, Manny Margot. Do you have any thoughts in when you think he will be up?
From what I can gather, the defense is definitely ready right now. Mm-hmm. And so I think that alone makes it likely that it will get called up relatively early on. I think some of it depends on how the Padres see their other options there, and I'm not sure how that's going to shake out in spring training and whether they want to give them a look, guys like Dickerson and Jankowski, before they crowd the outfield even more. But I think Margot will be up relatively soon, just because the defense will play, if nothing else. And I think he's a guy who could also steal 30-plus once he gets here. So I'm quite interested in him, and I'm really looking forward to seeing whether he can work his way into playing time, certainly in spring training, and if he doesn't get to start the year on the roster, then maybe in the first couple of months of the season.
Yeah, I got a feeling there's no way he starts the year on the roster. I think they'll play the service time game with him, wait till... I mean, I hope they don't wait till July in the Super 2 deadline to kind of pass. I would expect them to at least wait until after Memorial Day. So Jankowski will have his opportunity to kind of cement himself as a regular in that outfield in that early part of the season. I just think it becomes a lot more muddied after that, depending on how he plays. So he's a guy that, to me, I wouldn't bank on a full season of stolen bases from him, but I mean, he showed last year in 383 plate appearances, was able to steal 30 bases. So, and as far as Margot goes, He's another guy that I think could steal 30 bases in, you know, 400 plate appearances, and could very well be up at the beginning of June. So he's a guy that in deeper formats I'm willing to stash, and in shallower formats I'm definitely keeping an eye on as a guy that could make make a big impact as a rookie for the second half of the season, especially. All right, let's talk about Hunter Renfroe, another young guy. I believe he will be on the opening day roster as the starting right fielder. What are your thoughts on Renfroe in his officially his rookie season?
Yeah, I think he'll start the season with the big club, and I think the power is pretty monstrous. The question really, I think, is the batting average. He doesn't have great plate discipline, so I think he's going to need to be able to hit at least sort of in the 240, 250 level to be productive. And if he can do that, then I think there's a pretty promising player there. I also think he'll probably be batting fifth, so I think he'll get a decent number of opportunities to drive guys like Myers and Salate in if he does that. So, yeah, I'm kind of interested in Renfroe. For a long time, people have been talking about if he can just sort of tap into that power in game, then there's a pretty significant number of home runs in the bat. So I think there's just wait and see how he adjusts to big league pitching. But if I can take a flyer on him late, then I think he's quite an interesting option.
He's currently going as the number 54th outfielder off the board, 235th overall. That seems high to me. And, I mean, I like Renfroe in terms of his power potential, because, man, I watched him play in a couple games against the Giants, and he hit one of his home runs, I believe it was off of Bumgarner, and it went an absolute mile in a game where Bumgarner, I believe, was just pitching unbelievably. It was just a moonshot. It really showed off what his power potential can be. I think there is going to be issues with, the fact that, I mean, he doesn't walk at all. I mean, at least in AAA, the last 2 years, he hasn't walked over 4.2%, in his cup of coffee, a minuscule cup of coffee, but walked less than 3%. So in OBP leagues, I think you're looking at a guy who's probably got about a 280 OBP during the season. So that he's probably a lot less interesting in OBP leagues than he is in average leagues, where he won't have a strong average either. I agree with you. I think he probably is about a 250 average into the season. So, but I think he could connect with 20 to 25 home runs in full-time playing time. The Padres, like you and I have both said already, we'll probably start with him on the roster and have no reason other than to just run him out there every day no matter what. So they're not going to be competitive. He's part of that future, and they need to see what they have in him. So I expect him to get, as long as he's healthy, get 600 plate appearances, and with that, I think he could hit 25-plus home runs. Let's see. Anybody else in the starting lineup or on the bench you want to talk about? Oh, Austin Hedges missed out on the catcher. What are your thoughts on Hedges?
I mean, I think one of the first things I might have learned about prospects when I first started following the game and fantasy was that Austin Hedges was an exceptional defender who mm-hmm. could not hit at all. And I don't think that the scouting report has changed on that front. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing him play. And I have no interest at all in him for fantasy.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing is, and I don't know much about what the Padres AAA affiliate stadium looks like. He had 21 home runs last year at AAA. But I mean, and it's in El Paso, so I mean, it is quite a hitter friendly environment. That is somewhat interesting to me, though. And there were talks that his approach got better, that he was showing a little bit better swing. I don't think he's fantasy viable outside of like a two catcher NL only, like a 12-team two catcher NL only. But I think there's a lot of people that believe in the same kind of scouting report as you, and I think he's worth a dollar in that format if you're punting at catcher. I know in one of our dynasty leagues that you and I are both in, he is one of my second catcher, or he is my second catcher coming into this season. So he's paired with Buster Posey, so I've got kind of the top end of the echelon and the bottom end. But I would be interested to see. I'm going to be interested to see what he's able to do at the major league level after putting up some really nice numbers that kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, he only had one other minor league season with double digit home runs. Puts up 21 last year in El Paso. So. I'm not ready to completely write him off, but he's probably going to be batting seventh or eighth in one of the worst offenses in baseball. So, I mean, I'm not going to put very high praise on him or spend more than a buck or two at the NL only draft table.
Yeah, I think one thing that is nice, and as you mentioned, the Padres aren't going to be contending, so I think they're going to give him a good long look and. His defense is going to keep him in the lineup no matter what. So if there is anything there, I think we're going to get to see if that's true at the big league level this season.
Yeah, and just, I mean, if nothing shows early on, then, I mean, obviously he's droppable because if he's hitting, 205, at the major league level, obviously you don't want him to offer too much negative value at a second catcher position. So, let's go talk about the real interesting part of this team, and that is their rotation. I mean, what could be said about this amazing group of pitchers? You have Julio Chacin, Clayton Richard, Luis Perdomo, Paul Clemens, Christian Frederick. I mean, let me start with this. Is there a single person in this rotation that is fantasy viable?
I mean, I think just in the sense that they're pitching in San Diego, maybe you'll be looking at spot starts against bad teams for one or two who are on a sort of a good streak. I think Chacin has sort of been kind of interesting for a while. He has a decent ground ball rate, and I think that might help him a bit, although I don't rate the infield defense that highly. One thing that I did notice, and it was hard to find some optimism here, but I had a go. He kind of ditched his cutter in the second half and sort of went to his slider a lot more, and he did seem to improve a lot. So that's something that you might want to hang your hat on if you're thinking there's somebody here I could start. Perdomo is the other guy that I was sort of looking at his numbers and his performance last year and thinking maybe he could be something here. CFIP actually thought he was a league average pitcher, which was interesting to me. And I think we just don't have so much of a track record on him to indicate what he is. I know his results weren't great last year, but he had a great ground ball rate and he had a decent strikeout to walk rate as well. So those would be the two guys who I could see kind of somehow sneaking their way into back-end fantasy relevance. The other guys, definitely not. The only things I could really find were how terrible they were.
Well, do you have any interesting statistics on how terrible they were?
I know, yeah, I mentioned a few. The one that I really liked, Paul Clemens. He has a career 676 slugging against his fastball. Against right-handed batters. So this is against he's a right-handed pitcher. Right-handed batters hit his fastball for a 676 slugging percentage, which I kept checking that. I couldn't quite believe it was true, but it is. And I'm not sure if people have worked this out, but you do face more right-handed batters than left-handed batters. So I think that could be a little bit of a problem. He also has a 186 home run per nine in his career. So yeah, those were my fun stats about Paul Clemens, but no, not for fantasy.
Now, Paul Clemens is not related to the not Hall of Famer yet, Roger Clemens, correct?
I did see some people suggest that Roger Clemens would still be a better option than Paul Clemens at this point. I think, is he 52 now, something like that?
So. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, I mean, I mean, other than, like you said, spot starts in maybe deeper formats, I really just can't. You know, I used Luis Perdomo as a spot starter on occasion last season. I used Chassin as a spot starter on occasion last year. But I think I was burned just as many times as I was helped out. So, I mean, for the most part, Clayton Richard was at one point was a decent prospect back in the day and never really panned out. So, I mean, there's really nothing to gain here from using any of these pitchers on a regular basis. All of them are either, not worth even touching or just spot starters. So let's move into their bullpen, which is much better than the rotation. Are you sold as Maurer's as their closer?
Yeah, I think they showed that they were pretty keen to give him a look. I know people saw that Ryan Buchter looked more like the option that they would go to for closing last year, and actually Maurer got the job, and he kind of, even though he hadn't had great numbers so far, he ran with it, and he did pretty well once he became the closer. So I think he's going to have the job, and I think probably he's got a decent leash as well, based on how they went to him last year. I also think his overall numbers last year were a little bit unlucky. I think his strand rate was quite low, although he does always seem to have had that. So there is the question of whether he's just not that good at pitching with guys on base. But I think there's some strikeout upside there, and I think he'll probably get a decent number of save opportunities, just because I don't think there's going to be a lot of Padres blowout games. So yeah, I'm kind of interested in Maurer as one of those super cheap closers who's in the better league in a nice park, and I think will probably have a decently long leash as well.
Any worries that he would be probably the first out of town in a trade if he is successful in the closing position?
Yeah, that's always a concern, but I think at this point in the year, I'm not going to worry too much about that. Maybe something to bear in mind if you are in a league with people who might not think about that so much as the season goes on, if he has a good first month or something. And then you could kind of think about that kind of thing. But I won't worry too much about that in January. I think I'll just draft based on his skills, and I'll see how things play out over the spring and early in the season.
And I agree with you. I was one of the people that did not buy in on him. Last year, I speculated on Brad Hand and Butcher, and was incorrect in who ended up getting the saves. But I do like Maurer as a really cheap option. I'm actually in a mock draft. It's a dynasty mock draft in which I am kind of drafting just the best player available for right now. And I've got a closer already, but for my second closer, I'm looking at him because a lot of the other ones have already gone, and I was grabbing up offensive talent and starting pitching. So I think he's a great guy that is going probably way too late in drafts right now. I'm going to look up his NFBC rank versus other relief pitchers. He's currently going as the number 27th reliever off the board, 239th overall. I think he's going behind guys like Cam Bedrosian, Tyler Thornburg. To me, I think he should be going ahead of both of those guys. At least he's getting saves. And I think he, is probably a sneaky guy in the majority of formats. So, yeah, I think he's going to end up on a number of my teams. Any interest in any of the other relievers on this team? I mentioned Brad Hand, you mentioned Butcher earlier.
Yeah, I think both of them are pretty good options if you're in the kind of league, maybe if you play with holds or just where the sort of setup slash middle relief guys with good strikeout rates are useful. I think they're both going to strike out a lot of hitters again. I like Hand a bit better. I think he's got slightly better control, and I really like the changes he's made since he became a full-time reliever to his pitch mix. I think he's just an absolute killer against left-handed hitters now, and he's using his slider a lot more than he used to. Buchter, I think, a few too many walks for my liking, and he got away with it by having a low BABIP last year. So I think although there's some nice skills there, I think there's also potential for a few blow-ups. And he did that last year. He only gave up 20 earned runs, but he had two outings of four and one of five. So I think he's the kind of guy who sort of on any given night can just completely destroy your ratios, which doesn't matter so much in Roto, but if you're maybe in a head-to-head or something like that, then I think he's maybe got slightly higher blow-up potential than your average reliever.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hand is the guy that I would want in holds leagues. And I think he is probably going to go very very cheaply, even in holds leagues. He's also the guy that I would want if, you know, if Maurer were to get traded. So, I mean, if you're the kind of person that likes to handcuff your relievers or your closers, I don't think you necessarily need to do it in San Diego, of all places. But if you were going to, I think Hand would probably be the next person up. So, you know, I didn't even realize Brad Hand has a little bit of, you know, prospect pedigree. He was a second-round pick not that long ago. So
yeah, he's been. It feels like he's been around for a while.
He has. I mean, he's well. I mean, he was drafted in 2008. So I mean, he's only been in the majors for about. This will be his fourth season in the majors as a kind of full time pitcher. I mean, he's been in their system or been. He was in the Marlins system for a long time. All right. Anybody else you want to talk about on the San Diego Padres? I know this has been super exciting.
No, I think that's about it for me. I think we've probably dug as deep as we can to find any possible hope for the pitching staff, and that might be about it.
Yeah, I think we've given an optimistic view of one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. So, I mean, their minor league system is much more interesting. So definitely check out the prospect minute with Matt Thompson. Him and I will take care of that, and that'll be out later today. You and I are going to get back together for tomorrow's episode on the Giants. We're both Giants fans, so hopefully that'll be quite a bit more interesting. Why don't you tell people what you're working on and then where you can be reached on social media?
So you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. I'm just putting my finishing touches on my rankings for the site, so hopefully they'll be added in the next update there. And I'll also be writing a few things about putting those together and kind of where I sit on some players that may be a little bit harder to rank for me personally.
Yeah, definitely check out the rankings. Definitely check out everything Darius does. You do some stuff over at Banished to the Pen?
I do, yep. I write over at Banished to the Pen. We've got all sorts going on there. We'll hopefully have some season previews going up soon. We mentioned Effectively Wild earlier. We usually try and sync up with their team previews, which I assume will be going ahead again this year. So hopefully over the next couple of months we'll have a preview every day that they've got a team podcast up as well. And I've also got a very random piece. I recently found out that there is a movie called Long Gone, which was a made-for-TV movie, 1987, I think, starring William Peterson of Manhunt and CSI fame. It's just got very good reviews on IMDb, and nobody seems to have seen it. It was really quite hard to get hold of a copy. So I'm going to do a review of this obscure baseball movie that nobody's watched. So watch out for that as well.
I have never heard of this movie.
No, nobody seems to have done, but it's got like 7.8 on IMDb or something. So, and I really like William Peterson. I think he's a great actor. So
he's a fantastic actor. Yeah. But I mean, I was two when this TV made for TV movie came out. How old were you in 1986?
Well, I was born in 1986, yeah, so...
Okay, so yeah, that answers that question, and probably why we haven't seen it, but I'll definitely be looking forward to checking it out. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. You can email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. As you heard at the top of the show, if you give us a 5-star review on iTunes, it really helps us out, but it also gets you entered in to one of our listener leagues or in to win other prizes for some giveaways we're going to be having later on in the off season. Definitely check out all our content on friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Darius mentioned the ranks. We've also got articles and things going up there. Podcasts every day for a few weeks more. Hopefully you're enjoying all of them. We're putting a lot of hard work into that. So hope you're enjoying the content that we are giving you. And that will wrap us up. For Darius and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.